Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, you are indeed.
You and are.
Exactly a week ago today, we had the same kind of weather. So what's up with
exactly
this?
Exactly
a week ago today.
But you know that I dig this more than the same sun
well,
every day.
Well, I'm not
of the
saying
week.
I don't, but yeah? It's kind of I don't like it when it's trying to make up its mind whether it's going to rain or it's not going to rain. We need the rain, right?
As my wife says, absolutely. Another damn sunny day. She's just tired
in California.
Of it. She's just tired
oh,
of it.
My goodness.
We do. We do need the rain.
I know.
And according to, I guess it would be meteorologists, we need about 31 days of it straight
holy
in order
cow.
To fill the reservoirs.
You're
can
kidding.
You believe that?
Yeah.
Well, let's hope that the next day is tomorrow, which is what they're predicting.
Oh, is it
not
rainbow?
The first of 31, but
oh.
one of
okay.
31. Yeah.
We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
Let's throw some applause there,
yeah.
way, shall we?
Yes, to Mike Napoli and his team over there.
Mike Napoli, great guy, and a Paisan, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, I know.
As you could tell by the very Irish name. The 31st Annual Southland Theater Artists Goodwill Event, a.k.a. Stage, will be taking place May 9th at historic Saban Theater in Beverly Hills. That's a beautiful venue. I did was at a film festival there.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's a gorgeous, gorgeous space there. In Beverly Hills, this year's theme to Broadway from Hollywood with Love will focus on songs from Broadway productions, which began as Hollywood feature films. Funds raised by stage benefit much needed programs at AIDS Project Los Angeles. Today we are joined by two artists, one on the phone and one with us in studio here, who are bringing their time and considerable talent to this worthwhile event. On the phone, hopefully in just a few minutes, we're trying to track him down, the director, Mr. David Galligan, and joining us here in studio, the legendary Sally Kellerman is with us.
Right.
So welcome.
Excited.
Welcome.
Hi.
Sally's excited, too.
Thank you so much for joining us. We're very, very delighted.
And also,
you.
Paul,
well,
joining us.
I'm delighted to be here.
Oh, we're
sorry.
Thrilled. No. I was going to say, also joining us in studio is one of the stars of 3D Theatrical's latest mega hit. And if you don't believe me, check out any of the raves awarded to the acclaimed Broadway musical Sideshow, based on the true life story of conjoined twins, the Hilton sisters. Currently playing at Fullerton's historic Plummer Auditorium through this weekend only. Portraying Daisy Hilton, please welcome Afton Quast.
Thank you.
Hello, Afton.
Hey.
Thank you so much for joining us. We're very grateful to have you as well.
Thank
Such a
you.
Beautiful color of hair you have.
Oh, thank
we
you.
We have one great-looking redhead and a great blonde sitting yeah. right next to her.
Yeah. I'm naturally blonde, so.
You're naturally blonde?
I'm naturally blonde, so.
Well, I am a natural blonde, too.
Yeah.
Listen to Miss Kellerman's voice.
I know.
Your voice is so distinctive.
Oh,
it is
we were,
so sexy.
Well, I was talking about, before you got here, I said I couldn't understand why I was eating Hidden Valley Ranch salad dressing and I'd get hot, and I knew it was because your voice on those commercials.
Those were great, weren't they?
Yeah.
Such great copy.
You love the way that I just, you know, 50 films, Academy Award nominee, and what do? I bring
Forget
up Hidden Valley
that.
Ranch.
Hidden Valley Ranch is okay. I think they have a clip of it somewhere on YouTube. You can get to it. You
know? Oh, I'm sure they do. They have everything there,
yeah.
whether you want it or not.
Yeah.
Michael, before, oh, you know what? I think we have a phone call coming in. Should we just...
coming in from the right number?
Let's give it... Well, no, it says unknown, but we'll take it anyway.
It's...
you've just called State of the Arts. We wouldn't be talking to a David Galligan, would we?
Yeah, you would be.
We would be. Hello, David. Oh, welcome. You are on the air. We're glad to have you here.
I'm glad to be in the theater.
Oh, are you? You're not on a speakerphone, are you?
I am on speakerphone.
Oh, okay. Would you mind not doing the speakerphone? Is it possible to do the other way? Because on the air, it's a little... there we go.
Okay. Now we're talking.
Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm
okay, great. Well, I'm going to have Michael give you your intro that you are so due. So we were about to read it, but now that we have you, you'll have to listen to your own praise. Michael, would you go ahead?
Yes, I will, Paul. If I have that page in front of me.
Yes, you do.
Do I?
Uh-huh.
Hang on. It's a windy day today.
It's page three. Bottom of page three.
Yes, our first guest, ladies and gentlemen, most recently directed Leslie Jordan, the great Leslie Jordan, in Fruit Fly for a limited three-week engagement at the Los Angeles Gay and Lesbian Center, and a marathon four-day collection of performances entitled Cabaret is Alive and Well in Los Angeles for the Actors Fund of America. He is also the recipient of the Los Angeles State Alliance Ovation Lifetime Achievement Award and has... Where is that page? Produced and directed for the Southland Theater Artists Goodwill event for the past 30 years, the longest running AIDS benefit in the world, which has to date raised more than $5 million for HIV/AIDS organizations in the Southland. The 31st annual stage event takes place this Saturday, May 9th, at the Saban Theater in Beverly Hills. Please welcome David Galligan.
There we go. You're getting in-studio applause, too, David.
Welcome here. Yes.
Welcome, David.
Welcome.
We know you're in rehearsal. We know you're in rehearsal, and we have the good fortune of having your friend and wonderful performer, Sally Kellerman, with us in studio today.
Hi, David.
I love her. I love her.
I love him. I love him.
That's a little love fest already.
It is.
David, can you tell us a little bit about what we might, as an audience, expect at this year's stage?
Sure. There's a through line, and then there's also like a variety show. So the through line is to Broadway from Hollywood with Love. So an example, a good example of that would be a play called Parfumery. I hope I got it right. And it went to Hollywood and became a movie called Shop Around the Corner with Jimmy Stewart and Margaret Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
It stayed at MGM and we did a remake with as a music.
And there we go. And we've lost him.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, you know what? We'll just start with Ms. Kellerman. I'm sure that he'll call in when he realizes he's not talking to anyone.
Right. Hopefully he will.
And hopefully from a hardline phone. That would be...
Well, he's at the theater, so he's roaming around rehearsing actors.
Oh, no. Singers, he's got probably a million... I mean, with them opening on set or performing on Saturday, he's probably got a million plates spinning, as one would expect.
Yeah, so we'll see if he does. I was there all morning.
Oh, were you?
Came David, there? Yeah.
Really? At the theater?
Yeah, he's so great.
He is great.
And, you know, he started this AIDS benefit when... everybody started dying of AIDS, and he just went right to work and put this thing. He's been doing it, 40 years?
31.
30, yeah, yeah. And he's back. Looks like he's back. Let's see if he's back. Are you back, David?
Would you want to call me back?
No. This is actually a connection. This is far better. It's like you're in the room here with us.
Okay.
Yeah, and when you went off the air, Sally was just speaking about you, and man, what terrible things she was saying. It was just
we belong to a mutual admiration society.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
David, you were talking about Parfumery being turned into a motion picture and giving us the history on that as you were describing what's going to happen on Saturday.
So then, after Good Old Summertime, did you hear that part of it?
No, we didn't, but now we have.
Okay. It became a movie called Shop Around the Corner with Jimmy Stewart and Margaret Sullivan.
Right.
It stuck around MGM and then became a remake called In the Good Old Summertime with Judy Garland and Van Johnson. Then it went back to New York and it became a new musical, same plot, new music, called She Loves Me. And that's what I'm celebrating, is that what movies have done to Broadway.
Ah, wonderful.
And the other way around. Like, same thing happened with Producers. It was a film, it was a play, and then it was a film about
That's
a play,
right.
And then it became, you know, then they filmed the actual play. You know, good things get reharvested like that.
Within that structure, I'm going to do, it's Sondheim's 80th birthday, so Sally's doing Sooner or Later from Dick Tracy. So it doesn't owe anything to Broadway, but Mr. Sondheim, who's the core of Broadway, wrote it.
And this is now, David, this is 31 years, if we have this right. It's so,
that's correct.
It's such a wonderful, amazing thing, $5 million raised, but at the same time, it's just so, so sad and so tragic that we still have to be doing this.
Well, what's sad, Michael, is the apathy of the audiences now. AIDS is no longer the disease of the month. Many people feel it's been cured, which it has not.
It has not.
There's something called the cocktail, which, you know, prolongs your life, but does not necessarily cure it. Well, it doesn't cure AIDS at all. So there's a general apathy, and they've moved, the audiences have moved on to breast cancer. That sounds so callous of me, but it's very disappointing for all of us to do all this work and find a general apathy from audiences to what we do. And also, there's also been a change in, you know, a lot of the older audiences dying off or, you know, not capable of, and then doesn't go to the theater as much anymore. So you have it on two levels. They don't, younger audiences don't care for my kind of music or the kind of music that we do from the Great American Songbook and from Broadway, classic Broadway. So, and which is fine because I don't like their music either. So, we need them. So it's, you know, it's a general standoff. But it's very disappointing. With this event, it used to be three nights and packed to the rafters.
Mm-hmm.
It's crowded, but there are plenty of tickets available.
Well, I think the other thing too is, and you touched on earlier, but the charitable dollar, much like the theatrical dollar, is really split in so many different ways now that I'm sure there are a number of other organizations that are bemoaning the same thing. And the other point you made is a very valid one. You know, the median age of the ticket buyer is getting up there, and that's one of the things we have to sort of.
I mean, I don't know where theater audience would come from because I go to the Amazon and the different theaters, and you know, the general audience, you know, is the older baby boomers.
Yeah,
I don't
see
young people supporting theater at all.
Yeah.
And if you talk to them about it, they haven't a clue what you're talking about. At least I subscribe to People magazine. I have a general idea of who they are.
Well, you can't because they're too busy looking at their cell phone. That's the problem.
Oh, so boy.
David, I'm just trying to get Michael
true.
Going.
David, I wanted to thank you for doing something that you're going to do in this production on Saturday night, and that is something I know that's as personal to you as it is to myself and to many people in our Broadway community, and that is with Florence Henderson performing the number that Dan Mojica created for her in tribute to his recent passing.
Well, Dan and I both created it. I don't know why I put my two cents in there, but yes, he choreographed it in my... It's from based on an idea and creation of mine, so we're both guilty here.
Oh, well, and it's such a great number.
And, of course, Florence put her two cents in, which is... There's a raunchy side to this woman, which is absolutely heaven.
I know. I was going to say, it's something... I think there's leather and whips involved or something like that, isn't there? Something?
Oh, yes. And there's a same-gender kiss also.
Oh, my goodness. So, Florence Henderson. Little Florence Henderson.
Well, you just sold the rest of the tickets right there.
Who would have ever thought
that? Speaking of selling tickets, we should let people know how they can do that. For tickets and information about this, it's really just stagela.com? Is it the URL that simple?
That's what it says.
It is that simple. There's some at Ticketmaster too, I believe.
Okay, but no, I'm always impressed.
You think
when
I would know
like that?
I would beg people to come see it. We do need an audience.
StageLA.com at the beautiful at the beautiful Saban Theater.
And you know, and otherwise, I don't think we'll do it again. It's as simple as that. If I sound cranky, I am.
Oh, well, you know, that's another
it's
thing
so
too.
Then it's so disheartening. I cannot tell you.
Then it's a great opportunity for people to see this, and possibly their last opportunity to see it. StageLA.com is a site, and also in regard to the AIDS organizations that this is assisting, it's APLA.org. That's APLA.org. And we got two in-studio guests here that we should get to very briefly.
Yeah, I just want to say something about David. You know, he's just so typical an artist, you know, because he's now... the night before we're opening. Oh, yeah, well, I may never do it again, David. I don't believe you. And furthermore, I think it's going to be a great night, and people are coming. And So, David, you're just an artist.
Well, if I do it again, I want Sally Kellerman to sing Cole Porter.
Oh, nice. We'd like
an
that.
An evening of Cole Porter.
There you go. And aside from Sally, ladies and gentlemen, and you will have the opportunity to see Carol Cook, James Dearen, Nancy Dussault, David Engel, Julie Garnier, Taya Gill, Robert Morris, the great Robert Morris. We don't get enough of him. Jake Simpson, Sally Struthers, Donna Theodore, Leah Thompson, Lisa Vroman from Broadway, and Adam Wiley from television and Broadway. So what a great lineup, David.
What about Dick Chamberlain?
There's a fashion show with Craig Louganis.
So he's just come on board, we understand, and he and his husband are partaking in that.
Is Dick Chamberlain not there, David?
No, he's in Hawaii, basking in the sun.
Thank
you so much, David. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I adore you all, and... adore, that's a strong word. Well, I adore Miss Kellerman.
Wait a minute.
Okay. All right, David, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
See you on Saturday.
I'm so cranky, but...
That's okay.
That's okay. I'll fix it up for you once you get off.
See you Saturday. Okay.
Bye now.
Bye.
A good point, though, Ms. Kellerman. We all get there. A day before, a couple of days before, gets a little manic. Our next guest will forever be identified with her Oscar and Golden Globe-nominated performance as Mary Margaret Hot Lips Houlihan in Robert Altman's original film version of MASH. Her association with Altman continued with prominent roles in Brewster McCloud, Welcome to L.A., and The Player, among others, with more than 50 other films to her credit. A recent Emmy Award nominee, she can currently be seen in a recurring role on Marc Maron's IFC comedy series, Mary. He's a genius, that guy.
He is so brilliant.
She appears regularly in clubs and concerts around the country, and her saucy memoir, Read My Lips, is currently in bookstores. She's one of the featured performers in the star-studded lineup at the stage event that we've been discussing here today, happening this Saturday night. Please welcome one of my favorite actresses of all time, Sally Kellerman.
Well,
hello.
Thank you. And look, the crowds are cheering.
I saw you. They're right out in the lobby.
You know, I didn't realize that that's how you felt. I would have gotten here earlier.
I was talking to Afton about it before you got here. I just followed you for so long. And I was actually commenting on one thing, because I'm sure you talk about MASH quite a bit. But I wanted to talk about something else briefly before we talk about what you're doing. Because I was so impressed by you in this film that just became just such a pop culture icon.
I know what it
is. Back to School.
Yeah.
And the Rodney Dangerfield, of course, but what I remember when I saw that film, being a studying actor at the time, that you had such a difficult position there, because here's was this Rodney Dangerfield film that was Rodney Dangerfield, a heightened sense because of him, and yet you were this grounding element in that film, and yet you were still funny, and you really had your work cut out for you in that, and I just so appreciated what you did in that film. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, I appreciate that, because it's a movie that people see, if they've seen it once, they've seen it 10 times.
Oh, yeah.
Just sit down every time people tell me, every time I'm, you know, thumbing the channels and everything, and there it is, and they've already seen it 10 times, and they suddenly sit down and finish talking. Well, it was so funny. He is so funny.
Yeah.
He was so funny, and he remains funny. And, you know, truthfully, I had the easiest job in the world. All I had to do was love him.
Yeah.
And so that's all I did. Believe me, I didn't even think I would love him. And I thought, I said to my husband, how am I going to get this job? I don't even think I like him. And all I'd done was, you know, flip the channels, and, you know, you'd see his funny face going again. Yeah. So I keep going, you know. And at the meeting, you know, all the way there, I thought, how am I going to get this job? And open the door. Oh, I see you're handsome, as I remember, but I got to go. Oh, readings are hard, aren't they? I said, yeah. And they said, did you change your hair? I'd been in another time. And I said, sincerely, no, did you change yours? Anyway, then I sat down, read the poem, and I got the job. But
it was the poem.
It was the poem, yeah. They got me the job. But the director loved and appreciated his humor, and he would just say, all right, Rodney, now plant your feet and speak, you know. And then he, I must say, if I could just brag a little, he gave me credit for making Rodney human and the thing, because it really, but it was a lovely, it was a real gift.
And yeah, that was actually a more eloquent way of putting it. It was grounding him, and that's what made that narrative work so well, because it would have been, you know, at the level of intensity that is a Rodney Dangerfield, and believe me, I can quote Rodney Dangerfield all day.
Good.
But, you know, that was the thing that held that narrative together, and I thought, yeah, I don't think you ever, you were underappreciated for that, in my opinion.
Oh, well, thank you.
I really enjoy that. And one of those ones, there's two films, Back to School and Shawshank Redemption. Those are the only two movies that, if wherever they are on TV, when I turn them on, I watch them through to the end. It doesn't matter
right?
what I'm
Shawshank
doing.
Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah. So right up there.
That was a great film, though.
Oh, yeah. So now, you have done this with David for how many years?
No.
The stage
benefit.
I don't
even know if I have done it with him. Yes, I did years ago. And then,
oh, I thought you were a fixture in this thing.
I was such a smash that I didn't come back for 5 years. <you know? laughs>
But where she has been is singing in nightclubs
Guys,
all throughout the country.
I am a singer from the tip of my toes to the top of my head. I was under contract to Verve right out of high school, the summer of our high school. And then but I was too scared. And Barney Kessel signed me, a jazz, you know, guitarist. And I was so scared, I rushed into acting class, you know, where there were other kids and people and a teacher. And, you know, and I needed to grow up. I needed to be nurtured. And, you know, I had such low self-esteem and everything. So, and then the acting just took off. But I made my first Lou Adler, rock and roll.
Sure. Oh, sure.
Kings,
Rocky fame, Horror and,
everything, And so he produced Brewster McCloud. So I'd get up every night after shooting, you know, with Bob Altman and Lou in the audience. I'd go, Lou, I can do it, Lou. And I'd sing Lazy Afternoon, a jazz tune, and Hurt So Bad. It was a Bobby Hart, you know, kind of rock and roll ballad. Every night I'd sing those two songs. Lou, I could do it, you know. And so he finally said, okay, I'll give you. I had one rock and roll song. He said, okay, I'll do a demo. And the next morning I woke up with laryngitis. I was so scared, you know. So when we came back, he slipped me in between Carole King and everybody. And so I had her rhythm section. I could have had her keyboard. I could have had her playing keyboard, too. But some of my friends said, you better get a keyboard guy. You're really comfortable with, you know what I know. But anyway, so that was where I made my real first album called Roll With The Feeling. And it was Janis Joplin, Laura Nero based. You know, well, all right, I'm stealing. I roll with the feeling. You know, it's really, I love it. I'm, you know, there's a couple of hummers in there, but it was really great stuff. And,
well, you know what also makes you such a good singer is because you are such an exceptional actress. And you really work those songs from that standpoint.
Oh,
you know, it's so organic what you're doing with them.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was, and actually Universal Music last year, I have a book that came out last year, I think it was last year, called Read My Lips.
Right.
And so Universal Music, so we were trying to find where Roll With the Feeling was, my managers, and we found it, and they said, oh, well, that's one of our favorite ones in our catalog. Well, of course we'll re-release it, but they didn't put any money into it. They just made it available, you know,
Roll with the
Feeling. But then, so anyway, this is, I've been in Muscle Shoals and Nashville and anywhere they'd have me in the music, you know, and as an actor who sings, you go, you know, an actor who sings. But, and so I was determined. I mean, when I was offered, I got nominated for Academy Award, offered every movie going, you know, and turned down a couple of really great ones that I turned down to get a band and go on the road, because the minute I got nominated, I went, okay, I got that set now. I'm going to go work on my music. Well, I didn't have it set. There is no getting set. You know,
I should have
stayed until I won an Oscar and then gone out and had more, you know, clout. But nonetheless, I wanted soul. And so this is a serious deal for me, you know. Mm-hmm. But not this week, though, on this thing. I'm singing a Stephen Sondheim song, which is not my bailiwick at all, you know. And I'm like, absolutely. Like, and it's a little rangy, a little higher than, you know. So we'll see, ladies and gentlemen. But I do have I know that you say hello, and I can keep talking forever. but my most recent CD called Sally was produced by Val Garay, who was, you know, Betty Davis Eyes, and just all kinds of people, Bonnie Raitt and James Taylor, blah, blah, blah. And with all these great 70s guys, you know, Lee Sklar with a long white beard, great bass player, and Russ Kunkel, the drummer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then Dean Parks, who's like, you know, on everybody's album today. He's the great guitar player. So it's a really good album.
Russ Kunkel was at Jackson Brown, played with Jackson Brown?
I'm sure. Right? He's played with everyone. They've all these guys where they were called The Session.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, Get The Session.
Yeah.
And And we had so much fun making this album.
I need to have Sally come over and headline my nightclub.
Yes, you should.
Sterling's upstairs at the Federal.
Michael has one of the top supper clubs in town.
Well,
in fact, you were supposed to come recently to see something, and you couldn't at the last moment. Yeah, were kind enough to call and leave us a message.
Yes, where is that? It's in
North Hollywood, right across the street from the El Portal Theater.
I'd love to if you'd have me.
We'll talk about it.
It's a gorgeous room. It's a beautiful room. And Michael creates the most elegant supper club vibe there. It's really wonderful.
That's nice.
It's very
New
York.
Have you seen it after you've been there?
I have. It's beautiful.
And then I'm going to come in and kind of spoil it all. But I mean, in terms of the so you said so elegant, I'm going to.
No! It's not. It's kind of that today chic elegance.
I was going to perform there, but I had a conflict.
Why was that?
I can't sing or dance. Look at the time. Oh. No, sorry. Sally, I want to ask you, Ms. Kellerman, did you...
You call me Sally.
Have you ever sang in films? Have there been roles where you've sang in films, or have the twain never met?
Any place they'd ever have me. One of my favorite things was something I did with Sissy Spacek and Bill Hurt. It was a PBS special. It's so fantastic, and it's, what is it called? Verna USO Girl. Okay. And I played the B picture... A ballad singer, and Sissy played "Hi Guys," and she did a dad tap dance, and I was sort of a B picture ballad singer. And
okay,
I recorded, you know, "Long Ago and Far Away," and "I'll Be Seeing You," and all these great songs in a little tiny recording studio with a Marine. And I said, "Could you turn my vocal up a little bit?" Well, not without turning up the whole band, you know. So it was nobody there, and the director didn't show nobody, but it was such a great experience. We sang on these theaters with it raining, real soldiers in Germany and stuff. It was great. So I sang there. I was also in Lost Horizon.
Yes.
Proud of it, man.
I had to like that movie at that particular point in my life.
You're damn straight. And people come up to me. I told Bert recently, when Hal David was one of my closest friends and biggest supporters musically and everything, at his memorial, I saw Bert, and I said, you know, Bert, people come up to me now all the time and say, our parents, we play it every Christmas, you know, Lost Horizon. He said, when I hear Lost Horizon, I just keep walking. You know, they were at the top of the world, and the picture was not so successful at that time, but it's kind of a cult film. But he didn't want to hear about that.
So many stars in that film too.
I don't know Lost Horizon.
Oh, really?
You
should check it out for the sake of it. It's a good watch. Yeah.
Well, it had John Gielgud. There's one right there.
Olivia.
It's John Gielgud, but he's in it 12 times.
Liv Ullmann, Charles Boyer, Peter Finch.
Oh wow! Yeah.
Oh, it was a huge. It was a big star-studded. Extravaganza, but anyway, I sang there. I've sung all kind. I've sung anywhere, any project they'd have me that I could sing.
You would sing with frequency at Vitello's, actually, as well.
Vitello's was a good. I grew up in this town, so I started in West Hollywood at all those small clubs. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where I was learning, where I was growing in the '70s. Held over, standing room only, 3 weeks. You know, and then I went to Genghis Cohen with Chris Caswell, who Hal David put me together with. And we were there for 3 years. And that's where I really got free and where I really...
That little space underneath.
And that little funky space. Yeah.
Right. You go right when you go in, you get the space. You go left, you get the restaurant.
Chinese restaurant. And my older daughter says, I love to tell my friends that my mom works out at Genghis Cohen. but everybody's supposed to be one kid with a guitar.
Right.
And there we were, but bringing in new material. So that's what my album, Sally, was born in that thing by bringing in material and stuff like that.
And Sally is on the, it's on all the Amazon and CD Baby and all that stuff?
Yeah, and we tried to make it about something special, but it just was, all we ended up with Sally, that was it, you know. So that's the name of the CD.
Sally's Enough.
Yeah.
Sally's Enough.
Enough, baby. So what do you want, music and a name?
I created the club at Vitello's.
You did?
Yeah, I've been doing this for 10 years in town. Mm. So we're coming up on our 10th year, actually.
Oh, great!
And I did it at a time after Feinstein's at the Cinegrill kind of folded after 2 years of trying to have Michael's Club there, and there was nothing there. My mentor in my life was Rosemary Clooney, and I always promised her. from the experience of having road managed her for 3 years of our very long relationship that I would keep her kind of music alive somewhere. And I learned all the business of nightclubs in the country, and this is where I landed, was at Vitello's, and created that room upstairs for them. And
well,
then,
I loved my time at Vitello's. Yeah. I really did. That was my next step from Genghis. Then I spent a lot of time at Vitello's, and I had a very successful engagement about at the beginning of January at Catalina Bar and Grill.
Yeah. And, another lovely room.
And 54 Below in New York.
Fantastic.
Great room.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we're going to have you come over to Sterling's and check us out.
And,
good,
you know, just like
to.
You said, Sally, in terms of you going up that trajectory, I think, and I can say this, but Michael can't, but I think that's what happened with Michael at Vitello's, that he outgrew the space. He got such a following that now the Federal is a larger venue. And the beauty of the Federal is that it's a larger venue, but it still maintains that intimacy and that great vibe that a Vitello's
great.
Does.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, you kind of feel like you're in the Broadway district of New York because of the building and the whole ambiance of the NoHo Arts District.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So we'll look for that. But in the meantime, if you want to see Sally Kellerman before then, you can see her on Saturday night at this benefit arranged by David Galligan, the Southland Theater Artist Goodwill event. For tickets, stagela.com. And something else I wanted to put out there that I didn't get a chance to for one of the organizations of the that the money is going to. That's APLA.org. I don't know if I threw that out there, but can't get that out there enough. APLA.org is the AIDS organization. And for tickets, stagela.com. We're going to continue and move on with our next guest, but we want to talk to everybody.
Our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, is back with 3D Theatricals after performing with them in 2011 in All Shook Up. Her credits include Don't Dress for Dinner, Guys and Dolls, Macbeth, The Spitfire Grill, and Amadeus. You can hear her as the voice of Jenna Darabont in the hit online series MPGIS and see her on the Second City main stage in TMI Hollywood. Her performance in Sideshow has been called superb, as well as visually and vocally dazzling by the Orange County Register. We are delighted to have her with us here today. Please welcome Afton Quast.
Yeah,
oh, I get applause, too.
Yes,
that's
you
exciting.
Do.
Afton, that is just the most unusual great name, Afton Quast.
Yes,
so
it's very
different. Talked beforehand, Afton is a river.
Yes, it's a river in England, and it's a folk song, Flow Gently, Sweet Afton.
Flow Gently, Sweet Afton, and then the last name was Von Quast.
Von Quast, hundreds of years ago. And then they dropped the Von,
and you dropped
because,
the
Von. Let's be honest, it's a little much.
How do you spell Quast?
Q-U-A-S.
How many times have you had to ask somebody to spell it?
I mean, you're the first.
Everybody can spell it. Huh?
Yeah, no one can spell it. No one knows my name. No.
I think so. It's great.
Yeah, it's quite a name.
So now, Sideshow is one of these things that, you know, it opened on Broadway, did not do well on Broadway, but yet, I mean, monetarily, but then it was 5 Tony nominations later that year.
Yes.
And everywhere that it has been performed, people keep bringing up the fact that, oh, it didn't. And of course, I give that no credence at all, because that's just marketplace, that's just vibe. But you have to admit that when you describe this to someone, it's a little bit of a sell because it's such an unusual tale. And these two women existed.
Yes. They did.
The Hilton twins.
They
really did. Tell the audience about the synopsis of the story. So for those that are not familiar.
So the Hilton twins, Violet and Daisy, were the highest paid vaudeville act back in the 1930s. They started in the Sideshow. They were adopted and raised by kind of a nasty woman who ended up selling them to a man in the Sideshow. And they were raised in that environment. And then
they were conjoined twins
at the hip.
Okay.
So the different thing about them is that they were actually really pretty, too, and kind of pleasant to look at. And they could sing in beautiful harmony and dance and... So I think they kind of transitioned to vaudeville very well. They did the movie Freaks, as well as Chained for Life, which was not as big a hit as Freaks. So it's an amazing story.
They also had someone running their business who was very dishonest because he made certain through a contract that they were never to receive a penny for any of their performances.
Right. They were in court for a long time.
And it was only until they were later, older, that they found someone to help them and got a grant, I think an award of $100,000.
Right. And then unfortunately, because up until then they had been so sheltered, they really didn't know how to manage their money or deal with life and how to get gigs, and they didn't know anything else but show business. Yeah. So as they got older, they tried to keep doing appearances, and but you know, films and talkies, and you know, were taken over the side.
It's almost like the story that we've heard, the sad story that we've heard over and over about child actors. Very similar.
Absolutely.
So sheltered and so kept out of just having a regular life and an early part of life that they're thrown to the world and they're thrown to the wolves.
And you know, when you really stop and think about what these women went through as young girls, and you know, that any young, you know, girl that doesn't face that kind of a physical situation, you know, you're going through life, you're going through your changes, you know, growing up. These young women had to figure it out, and all of, you know, looking for love, and if they found love, and both of them did have boyfriends at one time or another.
Yes, they did.
And they could, masterminded the art of being intimate with them.
Yeah.
You know, one person being intimate with that person.
Yeah, that and that's the show that you're doing.
Yeah. So it's kind of, the show is basically, it takes some liberties, obviously, because we only have a couple hours to tell the story of their lives.
Right.
So it basically tells the story of their search for love, for love outside of themselves, and finding love with each other, you know, because it's interesting. You think, oh, you're attached to someone, you have like a built-in support system always there, and somehow that's just not enough for them. So it's seeing how they deal with that.
I
just wondered, was there ever a chance, or was it just too early in time for them to have been separated?
The interesting thing is that earlier in their lives, it was not possible medically. But later in their lives, they actually could have been separated because it was really just flesh. Yeah. But they didn't want to be.
Wow.
They had lived so long like that. Mm. One of them got the Hong Kong flu, and that's how they eventually passed away when they were older. And
this is about 1968, I think, right?
Yes. Yeah. And they were working as grocery store clerks at the time. Sort of in a small town.
That they had to beg for that job.
Yeah, they begged for that job, and they sat them on a little seat so that people couldn't see that they were conjoined. And they made the decision to not be separated. They asked them, would you like to be separated? Because this eventually is going to go to both of you. You're sharing blood, you know. Mm-hmm. And they said, no, we don't want to be.
I have heard that before, though, because I mean, the original, a lot of people don't know where the term comes from. The archaic term that they used to use was Siamese twins.
Mm-hmm.
And that was because the first well-known ones were Chang and Ang Bunker, who were the first two in the Guinness Book of World Records and all that. And they just sort of pirated that term, Siamese twin, and just applied it to them. They're saying conjoined twins now. Mm-hmm. But I've read interviews with a number of conjoined twins, and that there's always the first question, too. If you could be separated, would you? And I've heard no very frequently. So, I mean, it's a very strange dynamic. I'm curious about the logistics as a performer.
Uh-huh.
You must be very, very close friends with your sister in this. By now.
I am. Thankfully, I am.
And I might point out, Jeanette Dawson plays the other twin.
Yes, she's
marvelous.
She
plays Violet. Yeah. And
she's my other half.
After
literally.
And do you walk around connected?
Yes, we walk, we dance, we sing, we do everything together, connected. Our costumes aren't connected or anything. It's just us keeping ourselves together. But it's amazing. Jeanette and I have known each other for 12 years. I was in her wedding.
Holy cow. We did
this 8 years ago at a community theater when we were theater babies and sort of, you know, TJ was growing up and becoming the director that he is now, and he directed us in it. And so the exciting thing is to get to come back to it years later. And Jeanette and I are like sisters. We're incredibly close. I don't think our performances would be what they are without that bond.
Oh, no, that's really astonishing that you would be able to perform it with someone that you had such a history with. But I want to, something you said to sort of pique my curiosity. Yeah. You're not connected with, your costumes are not attached or anything? So you're literally just together.
Us, yeah.
Wow.
Just physically, we just feel that connection.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. And, you know, it's, I must say, for the Dawson family, the three Ds in 3D are T.J. Dawson and Gretchen Dawson, his sister, Redondo Beach, to the beautiful Performing Arts Center there in Redondo Beach. These are Broadway-caliber shows. They are so beautifully produced, and from sets to costumes to you name it, to the lighting, it's superb. 20-piece orchestra on this show, and this is regional theater.
It's so exciting.
Yeah. That
is beautiful.
Amazing.
It's so exciting to sing to. You know, you just, we had been rehearsing with the piano, and then the orchestra all of a sudden gets there. You've got this 20-piece orchestra. Sally knows. She's smiling. And you're just like, it brings the song out
of
you. You don't even need to try.
I felt the same way.
It's beautiful.
I did Mary Poppins at Cabrillo Music Theater. And when they bring that orchestra in, it's just like,
so
it all, then you realize why you're there. I mean, nothing against the in the trenches accompanist that's there for every single rehearsal.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, you go from a piano to 16 to 20 pieces.
Yeah.
It's a different world.
Yeah.
Might say Alan Everman is their musical director.
Oh,
he's superb.
Wonderful.
And then T.J. Dawson is one of the best directors we have in Los Angeles. He has just got a vision that is extraordinary.
Yeah, and he sees everything.
Yes.
I think that's what makes him so wonderful. Those details, just the little details down to the little shoes, the little... I have gotten the note, tuck my thumbs, so many times in some of our dance numbers that it's like just down to those little details, and that's what makes his show so marvelous.
Well, that's what a director is, details.
Right.
I mean, that's one of the things that they talked about, oddly enough, the Altman documentary that I saw recent, great documentary on Robert Altman. They talked about that, the details and the finesse. Mm-hmm. 3DTshows.com is how you get tickets, and it's only through this weekend. Tonight, 8 o'clock tonight, 8 o'clock tomorrow, two shows on Saturday, 2 and 8, and then a Sunday matinee at 2. So you got five more opportunities to see this show before it flies the coop. Mm-hmm. 3DTshows.com, and I'm hoping to see it.
You are going to see it.
I am seeing it Saturday.
You are.
I'm crushed that I can't see it because I'm doing this thing. You know, tomorrow's the tech and then the thing and then Saturday night. And then Sunday we have to go to a wedding in Palos Verde that someone who's worked for my husband all these years. Otherwise,
Sally,
I'd be there in line.
I think I would have died if you had come.
Oh, no.
I don't know that my soul could take it.
Oh, no.
I would be far too excited.
Oh, honey, well, thank you. But I bet you're great. You're so beautiful and so...
Thank you.
I mean, gosh, that's exciting.
I'm so happy this is recorded forever. Sally's a compliment.
Well, we have to get her down to see one of the 3D theatrical shows because
they're all
beautiful.
Wonderful.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I like to see
and
you.
Next up is Tarzan, followed by the Addams Family musicals to complete their season.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
great shows. You know, it's always a
and
great
where
time.
Is it? Where is it?
The show that Afton's doing is exclusively at the Plummer Auditorium. In Fullerton, which is a very the right building for this kind of show.
Oh, it's so old and it's just got
very
this,
historic.
This sideshow vibe.
Really?
Yeah, exactly.
Beautiful wood paneling and, you know, it's very vintage,
and,
if you will.
And then, unfortunately, this show won't go to Redondo Beach, but all of the other shows in the 3D theatrical season bicycle from Fullerton to Redondo Beach to their Performing Arts Center. So there's two.
Why won't this go?
I think they have a conflict.
It's
some
a conflict
sort,
with the theater that's pre-existed.
Probably just had a booking at Redondo Beach
at the same time
of
year.
Yeah.
So
it's sad. We're going to be sad for it to end. We're all a really tight knit family.
Oh, yeah.
All of us.
After 3 weeks of.
I know.
And, you know, to see a show like this at the prices, which are so affordable.
I think we have Rush tickets, too.
Yeah.
See, that's the other thing, too. I look at this, and I talked about this on the last show about, or I think I talked about it on Facebook. You look at some of these ticket prices, this wouldn't cover parking in New York.
Right.
You wouldn't you couldn't pay for parking.
And
for the
LA is coming up close to that, too.
It's getting
now.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Really.
Mm-hmm. Ridiculous.
But yet, you know, to have this this offered, and people, and the other thing, too, that people don't realize. In order to fill these houses, we're doing these consolidated runs. And yet, and people are just like, oh, I want to see your show. And then 3 weeks goes by. So, all right, so when can I come see your show? So, you missed it, Belle.
Right.
You know, if you're going to fill a venue like this, you got to concentrate.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
So don't put it off. That's what I'm saying. That's my lesson of the day. Don't put it off.
That's a good one.
Yeah. We've all been schooled.
Well, it has come to that time.
It has.
We
it
have
has.
To baptize our guests.
At this point, and Sally didn't hear this. this description. Oh, yes, so we'll start with Afton, but we always like to ask people to share a performance nightmare, something that went wrong on stage, whether it's funny or embarrassing in your entire storied career, or something, whether it's
film or
TV. It
doesn't have to necessarily be on stage. It could be anything.
I'm frightened that I may be having one.
I know.
Oh my God. So you think on that while Afton tells us about
it. Please, Afton, take it away.
Well, I'm gonna tell what just happened recently. So, as you know, in Sideshow, our biggest fear is coming apart on stage. It's just...
Literally.
Oh, basically,
because I've come apart on stage a number of times, but you're speaking literally. God. Okay.
But unfortunately, you know, you come apart and it's like, it's a miracle! The show's done! Right. That was it! You know, like, that's it. So there's a really fast Egyptian number, and it's like a big song and dance number, and then afterwards it's like a 20-second change, right?
Right.
So it's just... full wig, shoes, outfit, everything change. And then you go on for the last number and you gotta look good and like you're not sweating your face off and stuff. So we're in our last little pose and the curtain is supposed to close and then the music starts, right? So the curtain closes and I separate to start to run off, and then the curtain opens slightly, and Jeanette's just standing there in her pose, and I'm like in running position, and she's just looking terrified, like, oh God, and then the curtain closes really fast, and she was like, you separated from me, why would you do that? So that was terrible and embarrassing.
But you just raised an interesting point, which I didn't think about. It's like, you couldn't possibly have your costumes joined because every costume change would take 6 days.
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Jeanette had run across the stage. She needed a throat lozenge. She ran across the stage without me one night during a performance. I mean, it's a mess back there.
Oh.
It looks beautiful on stage, we're a mess back
there. Well, that's the whole thing.
Yeah, that makes theater magic.
That's showbiz.
Yeah, exactly.
Sally, do you have a tale for us? Tale of woe?
No, I don't know, but I was on the tour, when my very first tour with Ozzy and Harriet Nelson. And all the way, we did a lot of regular proscenium, but we were doing a coming up with Theater in the Round, and they kept going, oh, I'm so worried about the Theater in the Round. I say, guys, nothing to worry about, Harriet and Ozzy, you know. There's nothing to worry about, you know. Round will just be just like anything else. Of course, we get there, and I had to change from these kind of pants that had booties on them and, you know, and that kind of thing, into stockings and high heels and a bra, I don't know, whatever. You know, the whole change was a whole deal. But I had nothing had gone wrong, and I kept telling him, don't you worry, that everything is just fine. And so I did one of those quick changes, and I rushed to my place, and Harriet says, what are you doing here? You're not supposed to be in this thing, and you're supposed to be over there. You know, and I was the only one that missed it in the round, but I'd been reassuring them there was nothing to worry about. So I get around the other one, ready to go on, and I hear Ozzy out there. And then in 1942, you know, and he loved to tell tales, you know. And
just for helping.
So I had to wait to go on after I blew it. But just another thing that happened in the show was that it was called The Marriage Go-Round, and that was from Sweden. And so at one point in the play, I say, oh, Mr. Delville, I have come thousands of miles for you to be the father of my baby, and I want you to see something. And so I don't know whether he took it off or not, but somehow my top, I want you to see something. I thought I was taking my jacket off, so I took the whole
thing.
Bare-breasted.
The whole thing.
Ozzy walks over very calmly as he's buttoning, and furthermore, and on we went with the play. But
Of all of the two people to have that happen,
Harriet Nelson.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's those costumes.
But for me, it was a portending of the future to come.
Because that was pre-match.
You probably actually made Ozzy's day and many men in the audience.
Well, actually, you know, it's funny because this wonderful documentary about Robert Altman has a great clip, and I believe you're in it, where it's a dinner party, and he matches the challenge, and he takes off his clothes. He's at a dinner party, and he talks about about you, how uncomfortable you initially were with the MASH scene.
Oh, my God.
And then there's this footage of him at this. There's a lot of bottles of wine on the table. And he just goes down to his all together in this documentary.
Well, you know what he did on the other side of the camera? You know how I hit the deck?
Yeah.
And I said, well, could I? You know, I always thought I was so fat and hideous and everything like that. I went to the shrink and dropped my pants, and he goes, so, or whatever, you know, to get there. It was a scary scene, but I knew it was a great part, and, you know, after all, you know, sell your soul.
And groundbreaking, too, at the time.
Yeah. So, anyway, I said, well, could I at least be pretty? He says, yeah, you can be lit by 160 guys, and we'll stand there naked, and then, or else you're as fast as you hit the deck, that's what we'll see. So I was forced to take the deck part. And so the day of the show, I go, ah, and the curtain opens, and I hit the ground, and there is Gary Berghoff standing stark naked in front of me.
Good old Gary.
Yeah, and then the second take, which he probably didn't even need, and we did three, the curtain flied up, and I knew I was going to see a man. Instead, Tamara Horrocks, her name was, the nurse, very amply endowed bosom, and she was standing up, and I thought I'd already seen a guy, so it was like looking at a hermaphrodite, you know. And so all my expressions were, you know, that's probably why I got nominated for Academy Award, was my mouth being, after I hit the deck, you know. And there were three of them, anyway, three things.
Different levels of surprise.
On that note.
That's hysterical. Ladies, what a pleasure having
Absolutely.
Both of you here.
I enjoyed it.
We have time to throw those URLs out one more time, Michael.
Yes, 3DTshows.com.
And stagela.com.
And 3DT Shows, of course, being for Sideshow and seeing Sally Kellerman and, at the Saban Theater.
And Sally's CD that is currently available is called Sally on Amazon and CD Baby and various other outlets. And after, do you have a website you can tell people about?
I do. It's aftonquast.com.
What are the odds?
So crazy.
Really?
What are the odds?
Let's get out of here.
Let's spell Quast. Spell Quast again.
It's Quast.
Oh, Quast.
Sweet.
Quast.
Thank you both.
Thank
ladies.
You again.
A real
Paul.
Thank
pleasure.
You guys.
Oh, it was
Thank
a blast.
You guys very
See you
much.
On the radio.
All right.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohle, right here on LA Talk Radio.